This week's show with Susie Valerie, owner of the Enriched Stitch and the Karen Collection, is sponsored by Cyber Pointers, the online chapter of the American Needlepoint Guild. Meetings are held every other month starting in January, last 5 days, and are conducted through email. Upcoming programs include Swirled Heart in May, Off Balance in July and September, and Nordic Gnome in November. Cyber Pointers also offers workshops led by teachers and designers that typically occur over a longer period of time. Registration for Ginkgo with Plum Vase by Wendy Moore will open on May 30. Go to the education page at cyberpointers.org for photos and more information. Thanks to Cyber Pointers for making this show possible, and now our conversation with Susie Valerie. Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Cindy Baldwin.
And you're listening to Fiber Talk, the twice weekly podcast for needlework artists. Our artist this week from the Enriched Stitch, the Karen Collection, Susie Valerie. Susie, welcome.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Oh, yes. Well, thanks for doing this, because this all started because we wanted to learn more now that you are owner of the Karen Collection. And when she died, I thought, oh, geez, I hope we don't lose that line of threads. That would just be a shame. And so you've purchased it. So we're going to learn all about that. And then I was telling you ahead of time that before I'd done all my research to put together questions and things to talk about, and then discovered that you own this shop. And this shop is one hopping place. I mean, you've got all kinds of things going on.
Yeah, we do.
So I had a whole set of questions put together. I had to re-rack the whole thing because I didn't know you had a shop, too. I figured threads would be enough to keep up, but apparently not.
It's been a wild ride for the last couple weeks. So, yeah.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you started the shop, what, was it 2012?
2012. Yeah. Yeah. We just had our 13-year anniversary a couple weeks ago. So, yeah, no, it's been great. I've had the shop for 13 years. I went into canvas wholesale 8 years ago, I think, which is when I purchased Amanda Lawford's company, design company, and started designing myself. Then on February 28th this year, I bought the Karen Collection. It's been crazy. We had a show 3 weeks after that.
Right.
And so, yeah, it's been a whirlwind.
Yeah, I'll
but
bet.
Good,
I'll
good.
Bet. Yeah.
So,
Well, and as a needlework shop to own one of the top thread lines for needle pointers, nothing wrong with that.
They really are fabulous threads. They really, really are. They're so nice to work with. The colors are, you know, just incredible, the range. And I'm excited that it's going to keep going. So.
Oh.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, because I know a lot of people were worried about that. I know a lot of people were worried about that. So, but yes, it had, I know one of the things you were going to ask me about was, you know, this was in talks for a year and a half after Lois passed.
Oh, okay.
And so that's how long this all went on for. And I had spoken to Lois about it years ago. It was before COVID, and I said to her, look, when the time comes, I'm down the street, so, because it's about a half hour away from my shop. And you know, and it just never came to fruition, which is fine. Then we heard the news that she had passed, and so then I thought, well, let's reach out to somebody there and see what's going on. And So. Yeah.
Well, that, you know, that's one of the things that we deal with in this industry, this hobby, this art form, is so many of these names are owned by people who are retirement age or pass away. And, mm-hmm. and you know, how do you make sure that they continue, whether it's a painted canvas line or a thread line or
exactly.
you know, a cross-stitch designer? And you hate, you know, yeah. some of the, it's, I mean, they're just some, you know, the industry would really be hurt if they were gone. And Karen Collection is one of them. I mean, how many designers rely on Karen Collection threads as their base thread
so
for
many.
A design? You know, that's just mm-hmm. a given. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Well, and there's, you know, and there's such a nice array with the threads, I think, where yeah. you've got the strandable, the 12 strand silk, you have a single strand, you have, you know, different weights and thicknesses. So you can really, you know, it's a really versatile line, I
right.
think.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. So go back. Now, you said in the notes that I have here, you started stitching when you were a teenager. What gets you to starting a shop? Did you open the shop from scratch or did you buy it from someone?
So, yeah, I mean, honestly, I don't even remember when I started stitching. I don't have it with me, but I found a piece done on plastic that I must have done when I was little. I don't know how. I just know, and it's a little plastic frame. Uh-huh. And so I know my older sister taught me how to stitch. She learned from our neighbor. And we did Continental with, you know, mostly wool and pearl cotton for years.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And then, yeah, I would, how I got to opening the shop was then I started taking classes at another shop that's no longer around. And, when she was going to retire and close the shop, I talked to her about buying the shop and, she was very honest with me and just said, start from scratch. So, that's what I did. And, you know, I didn't have that many thread lines in the beginning and I didn't have, you know, I mean, tons of canvases and stuff, but you know, as the years go along, you acquire more and more.
Right.
So that's kind of how it came to be. And yeah. I always wanted to have a store. So
I'm going to guess that start from scratch advice was probably good. Probably the best advice.
It was, it really was. And yeah, I mean, it was really the best thing to do. I think, especially like 13 years ago, the internet was not what it is now. The
yeah.
social media was nothing compared to what it is now. So it was harder to start a shop. I mean, I sent out mailers in the mail.
Yeah,
so,
<right. laughs>
but yeah, so I'd always wanted to have a shop. So I kind of decided to do it. At the time I was teaching piano. I'd been teaching piano for 15 years and it was time for a change.
Yeah.
So, so I jumped in and no idea what I was getting into, but here I am.
Did you have sort of a community already there because of the other shop? Was
yes.
it close enough? Okay.
Yes.
So that's good.
Yes. So I knew there were stitchers in the area. So that was just how it came to be. And I just kind of thought, well, where am I going to go to get my needlepoint supplies? So
yeah.
Been there, done that.
Exactly. So, but no, I'd always wanted to have a store. But it was just time for a change at that point. And then it just sort of everything kind of fell into place at the right time. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Cindy lives in one of those needlework store deserts. And
you're in a desert. That's
yeah.
the worst.
Yeah. So she's.
Yeah, it's an hour and a half to the closest needlework store.
Oh, that's a little rough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's when you go and stock up all at once.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
And she'll order stuff for us, you know, so, and then just hold it till we have
right,
a chance
right.
to get up there.
Right.
But if you need something now, not going to happen.
Right. Right. I know. I know, it's tough.
Yeah.
And everybody always says to me, open another store here and open another store here. I'm like, no, no.
No.
I think I've got enough on my plate right now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
How does having a store, so many people started with whatever hobby it is, and then they start to make a business out of it, and it just sucks the fun out of the hobby. Has that done that to you? Have you had to fight that? Or
at times, absolutely, yeah. It has. Absolutely, where you just get kind of burnt out.
Yeah.
And especially when I do so much stitching for classes or clubs and things like that. Yeah, sometimes it starts to feel like a chore, especially when you have to stitch under pressure, under a deadline and stuff. Yeah. That's not fun. So, so what I try to do now is I really try not to say, oh, we're going to have this class until the piece is done. I don't like to say, oh, here, I'm half stitched. Let's have a class. No, that's what I've learned to do to combat that situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
is to try to put less commitments on the actual stitching.
Yeah.
And just they're done, and then we can have a class. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've often thought that about model stitchers. I could never be a model stitcher. I'd hate it in a minute just because. You know, when are you going to have that done? I need to show that. And I couldn't do it.
Yeah. Exactly. So, so I just kind of like to, now I've learned that lesson of just wait until you're done stitching the piece. That way I can enjoy stitching the piece and not worry about what's going to happen with the piece, So. Yeah.
Was it always going to be a needlepoint shop?
Always a needlepoint shop. Yeah. Always. I don't do cross stitch. That's really all I do is needlepoint. I don't knit. But needlepoint probably, I probably spend 8 to 10 hours a day somehow doing something with needlepoint every day. Okay. Right. So
she's a purist, folks. She's a purist.
I wish I could just sit and stitch for 8 hours a day, but
yeah, doesn't happen.
Yeah. So tell me. Is it all painted canvas or do you do some counter?
Yes, I work only on painted canvas. I've really actually never done a counted piece. I know. And I really got to try one of those one of these days. And I know there's so many that Lois had done. And I just haven't had a chance to look through all of that yet. So, but yeah, I'll have to try. Because I know with some of these threads, they're designed for that purpose, I work on pretty much exclusively on painted canvas.
Yeah. So tell about the store. So we have a shop, do we have a space to come in and stitch? Classroom space?
So the shop is, there's two buildings. So when you come up the steps, you go right to the shop, and then to the left is an old house from the 1860s. That's where we do all our classes and lessons and retreats and everything we do in there. It also houses the wholesale canvases and some offices. So we kind of have two spots, but the retail is all in one place for now. we may expand a little bit over into the studio. It's what we call the other building. So
you have that classic shop front problem where if there was another 10 square feet, you'd take it.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You never have enough room. Never, ever. You always outgrow it is what I've learned.
Yeah.
Right. Now,
and then wholesale. So then you started designing. Do you have an art background or did you just?
No, I don't have an art background.
Good for you.
I started designing, really, I kind of started by doing names on stockings and things like that because I have to for the shop. And actually, it was Amanda Lawford who really taught me how to paint on canvas.
Oh.
So, at the time, she was living in Atlanta and I was in Connecticut, and I would just text her pictures and she'd say, you know, the paint's too thick, it's too thin, do this, move this over one or something. And so I really got trained by one of the best. And I didn't really know I had this side of artistic quality in me. So it was really fun to figure out. And, you know, yeah.
One of those that has it in the genes. Oh boy.
I guess so.
Yeah. So then surely you don't have time to paint all your own, your canvases. Do you have a service
for you? No, I use a painting service. Yeah. Yeah. No, I do not have time to paint.
I want to know.
I wouldn't want to copy paint one either. That doesn't sound like fun. No.
I want to know how bad was that first canvas? How gloopy was it?
Oh, it was filled with a lot of paint. Mm-hmm. Yep. Nope. You've got to get that right consistency of your paint.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think that's the hardest thing was for me in terms of painting was just working with the paint and on this, you know, medium that's, you know, it's not easy to paint on canvas. Right. It's not smooth. It's not, you know. It sucks up the paint.
You can't just spill your brush up with paint and slop it on.
No, it's dip, dot, dot, dot. And repeat. Yeah.
I think every painted canvas designer we've talked to, I would conclude that for everyone, it was the hardest part was getting that paint consistent so you could get the right look, not fill up the holes, not have it dripping off the back, all the things. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. But once you get that down, you know, that was a big hurdle for me. So, I was told if your paint is like melted butter, that's the right consistency.
Okay.
So that's kind of what I always go with, or like heavy cream or something.
Heavy cream.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. That's usually what I kind of go for, but yeah. So that was tricky for me, but
yeah. Now, do you keep a pretty steady design parade of designs, or is it kind of hit and miss because you got so much else going on?
I have some other artists that I represent.
Okay.
And like I said, I have Amanda Lawford, the DC Designs line. But I do try to come out with new stuff every show. We had, I think between me and my artists, we had maybe 60 or 70 new designs at the last show. Wow. Yeah, we had a lot of designs. Yeah. So, and I just signed another artist who's going to come on board. And and then there's some artists I also license that are either, you know, one is a digital graphic artist, you know, they're not needlepoint artists. So there's a few of them I license as well that then I have translated onto canvas.
Okay.
Cool. Right. So sometimes I paint the masters for those and other times I work with my painters and they do the master.
Yeah.
So.
But for your designs, you always paint your own master?
I always paint my own master.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. I've tried designing on the computer. I wish I could. It just doesn't work up here.
It does not translate.
So I am very much paint to canvas. I usually draw something out first.
Right.
And then go for it. So I don't often show my masters because, you know, they're covered up with covering up mistakes and things like that. So, but I use the painting service and, I always aim to have new designs. I do really like to paint. A lot of times I have to decide whether I'm going to paint or stitch, depending on what needs to get done. So certain times a year I'm busier with painting and other times I'm busier with, stitching. So just depends on what's coming up with the show schedules, basically.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. When you have a new design, one of your own designs, do you then stitch it or no time for that?
No, I usually wait. I will wait till I get it. Well, sometimes I have stitched my masters because I've had to. Usually I wait for copies to come in. I don't stitch everything I paint. I'd love to. Some things I design with like a club in mind. So sometimes I stitch the whole club. Other times, the ladies at the shop, we split up a series and everybody takes one and we make a club that way. So yeah, I wish I could stitch everything, but, maybe all in good time.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to say good luck to that. Yeah.
Right.
No, yeah, we all sense. Have a very vast stash. Yeah. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Someday. Yep.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So then yeah. It sounds like your employees are all stitchers too then.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Even my newest employees who were not stitchers, they are now. you can't hang around a needlepoint store and not stitch. You just can't. Yeah. So.
Right. Yeah.
Talk about young people. Are you seeing more young people stitch?
Oh, yes.
Yeah?
Oh, yes.
Oh, that's great.
I cannot keep 13 mesh key fobs in stock or anything that's 4 inches and under. There are a lot of younger people. There's just a lot of new stitchers of all ages. But, yes, particularly younger people. Let's see, one of my newest employees is 28, I think. I mean, there's just with the stitch clubs, you know, people are very active with the stitch clubs and getting together and doing, you know, retreats and events and all sorts of stuff like that. It's really nice to see. But yeah, definitely younger. I mean, even one of the ladies who works here, her daughter's 14, I think, and she's just getting her first project. So,
all right,
we love it.
Excellent. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know that of course the pandemic really escalated needlework across the board, but I really asked that question one to learn if young people are involved, but also to kind of gauge, is that holding? Is that excitement and interest in the pandemic? Is that holding now 2 years later? Sounds like it is, at least for you.
I think it is crazier now than it was during COVID. I think what happened during COVID is everybody who already stitched was stitching like crazy then. And then it brought the new wave of all these new stitchers, younger, older. And I mean, I just see it with social media. I see it on TikTok. It's huge. It's huge. It's everywhere. And it's wonderful. So I don't think it's slowing down, which I think is great. The more people who need a point, I think it's, you know, just so good for you mentally.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, it's just, it's fabulous. I just think we don't have enough manufacturing for the demand that we currently have. That's kind of across the boards, whether it's threads, whether it's canvases, you know, everything is just, it's gotten harder to get, obviously.
I'm not sure there's a good solution for that, because you have those long periods where there's not much needlework, you know, in back in history, not much needlework going on. And so factories, now you want more. Well, I don't know if I can expand space, you know, can I count on it for the, you know, for the distant future? And yeah, you have to think twice all the time. That's always a tough call. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But that's interesting. I mean, I think we've heard that many times, no matter what the technique, because we cover all techniques, that for the young people, it's the smaller designs, more instant gratification kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I always start people 9 out of 10 times on 13 mesh. It's just easier to see.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I just think there's, it's.
Well, with a lot of the designs that people seem to be really interested in these days, you know, the the kind of simple graphics, 13 mesh is great because you don't need a lot of detail.
Correct.
And it, they're a quick stitch.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And they feel, because we know if you've been stitching a long time, you know that needlepoint takes forever. Right. So any of these needle arts, you know. Mm-hmm. So it is nice when you get your first project that, you know, it's not taking you months and months and you feel like you're never going to complete it. So, but yes, yeah, smaller pieces with a couple of colors. I usually look for things that have some bigger space. So it may not, it might be more of a 5x5 or something, but it has some more room so somebody can just stitch.
Yeah. Do a fun stitch. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, that's
encouraging. That's encouraging.
Yep. It's great. There's a lot of, lot of new people. So, yeah. I mean, I had a brand new person today in studio time. So,
Excellent. Yeah. All right. Well, let's learn about the Karen collection. So you wanted to buy this thing a year and a half or so ago and,
And I mean, there, you know, I mean, we were dealing with an estate, so that's always a little bit more complicated.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I said, I had spoken with Lois about this before COVID and, you know, and nothing really ever came of it, but I just said, you know, I'm here, I'm a half hour away. So, you know, when you want to retire, talk to me.
Yeah.
And so we closed on February 28th this year. 3 weeks later, we were at the show in Orlando, with the threads. and well, we found their displays when they used to go to the shows.
Oh,
perfectly preserved in like huge shipping crates. Oh. So
thank you very much.
Yes. So that was great. I mean, we just had to get something to ship it in. And we had a new color at the show, which I do not have here, of course. Well, we haven't really skeined it yet. I had a couple of skeins for me. It's called Coral Reef, and it was from, I can send you pictures of that too, but, it's so all how Karen works is all of the variegated threads are dyed on premises here in America, in Connecticut. So all of the solid colors are imported. So we've got a master dyer. Lois used to dye the threads also. So all of these glorious threads are made right there. You know, we get the raw materials and then they're dyed there.
Yeah.
So, and everything is hand skeined. Which I personally love something in a skein as opposed to a card because it's looser. It just lets the thread relax and it's easier to work with the threads, I think, that way. So so as for right now, we are going to keep everything hand skeined, and I honestly don't even know if there is a machine that would do it. So I'm sure you could have one made, but I don't know, I don't know anything about that yet.
That's the whole thing, the learning curve, because now no dyeing background for you at all, right?
No, but I cannot wait. So what has been fun is like I brought some pieces up there and my dyer kind of looked at me and he's like, oh, we don't have something for this and we don't have something, you know. And so and then he dyed something, sent me a picture the next day when he was dyeing it, and the next day I was up there, it was dry. And then they skeined it for me. And it's pretty cool that we have that capability where if there isn't a color, we can try to make it.
Yeah.
So it was a different experience at the trade show a few weeks ago for me shopping, because I was going around looking at pieces thinking, do we have that color? Do we have that variegated? If not, I'm going to buy this canvas and we're going to make it. So it's really just giving me, it's like, this is like a whole new playground for me, with the color and being able to be creative and, you know, it's a nice little marriage, I guess, of the two. And
at some point you're going to have to rein yourself in, I'm sure.
Oh yes. No, I'm good. I'm good for a while. I'm good. I'm done. I got enough on my plate.
Yeah. Because I'm sure with something like that, it would be easy to be sitting down with the dyer every week and say, hey, I need this color and this color and this color. And you end up with colors that may or may not sell. And you can really.
Well, there's many experiments, they call them.
Oh, okay.
Up at the warehouse. And there's boxes of stuff that, you know, either Lois didn't like, something they tried out, or I haven't even had a chance to go through these boxes yet, but I can't wait. And most of them have the formulas with them for dyeing them. So we could, you know, reproduce them, which is great. Yeah. Most of them do. So we're going to, I've told them up at Karen that I was like, I just got to get through April. I have a retreat next weekend, and then I'm all yours for a while.
That's going to be so much fun to get in there and really look at what they have and think about the possibilities.
Right. Or what holes are missing. I know one thing where like three of the ladies who work here all said, when they looked at the Swa crystal, going, we need a lemon yellow. Okay. So I'm like, you know, and once you especially you see it up on a wall, you can really start seeing, you know, the holes. So, And so we'll be adding some new colors probably. And
you're going to keep all of the thread lines that are in place now, the thread types?
I don't think they make Antica anymore. The Rachelette, which was like the Petite Frosty Rays with the filament in it, I don't know if that filament is still made. I think they said it wasn't. So we can still do Rachel, but I'm not positive about the Rachelette right now. I have meetings set up next week with my manufacturers to get information about all of this stuff. Would love to see more colors of snow. I would like to, that's probably the first thing I'm going to look into doing. I'd also like to see, can we make a snow for 13 mesh? Because there's not a lot of metallic for 13 mesh.
No, there's not.
There's not. And so that was one area I was going to explore. We're going to do some new variegateds. But, you know, even my 17-year-old son is sending me pictures of like Lamborghini colors saying, this will make a great thread, Mom. And he's right. They have fabulous colors. It's been really fun playing with these threads and just literally doodling around on a blank canvas and just saying, you know, what does this one look like, you know, or whatever when you stitch it. So
were you able to keep, I mean, all the talent at the dyeing factory? You've kept all the knowledge then.
I have kept all the knowledge and, everybody who works there, they've been there for 20 plus years. They know everything. It's great. So they're so helpful because I don't know.
Right.
So I was very lucky to be able to keep everybody.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause yeah, you know, in any acquisition like that, it's the people. And then I'm sure what you're really buying when you buy the Karen collection is you're buying the dyeing formulas.
Yes.
I mean, that's the gold. That's the what really matters.
That's the liquid gold right there. Right. Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what you're actually buying. And so then from your perspective, you keep making threads, folks, but then you have the fresh ideas that, you can come in and create new threads. And
the challenge has been is that technologically, like even like for invoicing, things like that, it was fairly antiquated.
Yeah.
So we've had to build a whole Shopify site for invoicing, and that we will eventually have the website where shops can log in with their wholesale login and order, place their orders, or, I mean, they can still call and whatnot and place orders. But we're going to make it even easier.
I'm sure they'll like that.
Yes. Yes. So we're trying to just make it as easy as possible, you know, for shops on our end, you know, bookkeeping wise, things like that. So, yeah, well, so that's been the biggest challenge, I would say.
Yeah, and that's interesting because, you know, sorry to bring up a competitor, but when I, the last magazine I edited before I retired was for manufacturing. Mm-hmm. And I sent a freelancer to the Kreinik factory several years ago before it was sold to look at the whole issue because their machinery was ancient. Mm-hmm. Like so old that if something breaks, you have to have a part machined. You can't buy, you know, and so, you know, the story was that whole issue of antiquated factories and antiquated processes in today's world. Mm-hmm. And how do you deal with that? And, you know, this whole needlework world is full of that kind of thing where it's the way we've always done it. It still works. And why would we change? But then you come along and because if we do this and this and this, we're more efficient. We get product to market faster, better, and all those things. So, yeah, I'm sure you're working through all of that. Yeah,
exactly. You know, just streamlining things, having everything be digital, you know, so that, and especially since, you know, I can't be there every day. Mm-hmm. It's really important for me to just pull something up on my phone and what was going on today and things like that. So, I can, you know, check on things remotely. I can help fix things remotely if something's wrong in Shopify or something like that. So just having all of those options, you know, allows me to be, you know, be in multiple places at one time.
Yeah.
Right.
So someday you're going to go up there and get your hands in the dye vats and see what it's like.
Yes. Probably in a couple of weeks. Yes.
Yeah.
When I get up there. I can't wait. So, I've got to look through some canvases and figure out, you know, maybe where we've got some holes, and what we can dye. So, I'd also like to do some, I mean, a lot of the, most people will know the watercolors for being, you know, more something like this, that's, you know, really like pronounced.
Right.
There are definitely ones, I'm just looking at what's like laying on this table here, you know, that are more subtle with the over dye. So, and I know for painted canvas, that's easier to work with for us, painted canvas. So we might, we're going to get this all, I literally am sitting in front of a table full of water lilies right now because we've been working on hanging them up all day. So that's why I just keep pulling threads off the table. But yeah, doing some that are a little bit more subtle, you know, that just make it a little easier to work with. That's another area I'd like to focus on too. So
how does, and I realize you're just getting started in this thing, but, when it comes to working with designers and other shops, I mean, I'm sure if you put out a sign, you could get 50 designers to come up with 300 requests for colors, color variations or whatever. How does that work? Do you try to help, or is it just folks, I can't do it all?
Well, it depends. I mean, if somebody, you know, well, for example, so Colors of Praise, that designer, Marie, and she, they were talking, they reached out to me about, you know, that there's just colors don't exist for some of her pieces. And, you know, and she's got the beautiful shading and everything. And so I said, well, let me take a look and see what we have first. But if not, then yes, that might be something we will add in if we don't have something like it already. So I think it's a great place to look at the canvases that are being painted, and what holes are there. So I would definitely work with designers, or use some of their pieces for inspiration. Zecca is another one. I mean, talk about color. I show some Zecca pieces to my dyer, and he had never seen anything like it. So you know, they're familiar more. Lois's style with her canvases, you know, we're all stitch painted, a lot of geometrics or florals and things, you know, so they haven't seen, you know, stuff like, I don't know, this is just sitting next to me right now, you know, where it's all, where it's not stitch painted.
The counted canvas designers really picked up on the variegated threads early. You know, that's where the threads that have a lot of color in them really come into their own. But you're right, they aren't very useful for painted canvas.
No, they're hard for painted. So I mean, yes, some of them, you know, we brought in the full line of water lilies, and then I kind of looked through them once we got them in the shop, and I was like, I think these are just going to be too hard to work with on painted canvas. So, So, I mean, there's definitely different places for the different types of threads and, you know, what you can do with them. I mean, I'm just kind of always amazed when you take some of these ones that are, you know, multiple colors. And even if you just satin stitch with them, it's really cool how they come out. Right. So,
You got a lot of learning to do. It's going
to
be fun.
I do have a lot of learning to do. I do. Yeah. And I've been having so much fun with these threads. There's a big learning curve here for sure. I'm less overwhelmed than I was a month ago. So this is good, but, it's a lot. It's a lot taking this on, and it's a big company. You know, there's a lot of, I mean, there's 330 something colors of watercolors. I think, I can't remember the exact numbers, but I know there's 300 something colors of impressions and Swat Cristal. Like it's a lot of colors.
What's your supply chain look like these days? I mean, are you importing most of it or?
I have a meeting set up next week with my suppliers, to talk about the tariffs and things like that. So, as of right now, because I haven't received any new product yet, we're not going to do anything about the tariffs until we're going to see what happens when it comes in, basically. But I will get more information about that from them next week. And, but I do know that it takes a couple months to get, the impressions and the Swat Cristal. And I believe the snow takes about a month to come in. But 3 months is, you know, not uncommon in the needlework world.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Are your base threads for the overdyes, are those made here?
Those are imported
too.
Because how it works is the water lilies is the same exact thread as the Swat Cristal.
Okay. Walk the skull. Yeah.
Just it's either white or natural that we dye it on. So that's the 12 strand silk. And then the same colors are carried throughout the watercolors and the wildflowers. So the watercolors is the most colors of any of the lines. Mm-hmm. So,
but yeah, it's really interesting the way the different threads take the dyes. Cause I use watercolors and water lilies the most. Mm-hmm. And so I generally have skeins of both of those. And I have some wildflowers too, that are the same color. But when you line them up side by side, the silk is so much different from the cotton in the way the colors are.
He was telling me, and I again don't know enough about this, but the different, you know, the silk will take it the color different, the dye differently than the cottons and things like that. And
the wildflowers is that's a cotton, but it still comes out different from the
because it's so fine. And then also with every dye lot, you know, when I've seen them dye, you know, so far, you know, it depends. I mean, it's never going to be exact. I mean, no matter what you try to do, even though they've got the formulas and everything else, but it might be about how wide, you know, each band of color is and things like that. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Well, Susie, bravo for you. This is a lot.
It is a lot. It is a lot, but it's going to be, we're getting there. We're getting there. We're getting there. You know, and we're just, you know, we're still just, the orders are going out, all of that kind of, you know, I was like, I didn't want to have any sort of delay when we transferred. So, you know, they're just packing and shipping and doing the orders and keep it going.
Yeah. Sounds like you're going to have a lot of fun in the next couple of weeks, though, learning.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Probably more like the next couple of years.
Yes, the next couple of years. I was going to say we should meet again next year and see where I am next year.
Okay, we can do that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Susie, thanks so much. Thanks for keeping that thread line going, and we'll look forward to what lies ahead. Sounds like it's going to be fun.
It is going to be fun. So, thank you for having me.
Yep. Thanks to everyone for listening.